Hi, it's Lisa Cherney. Welcome to Cash Through Clarity. I am so excited that you decided to join us and make this investment in yourself because you're going to claim your ideal clients and attract them with the perfect words. Now, you are at the pre-call assignment place of the program, which is very exciting. This is where I get your juices flowing in preparation for our first training call, which is the first step to getting clarity, called Claim 'Em. Remember, there's four steps to getting clarity. That's claim them, help them, attract them, and find them. And the claim them part is so intricate that we want to get you started before the first training call even happens. So you can think of it as having two phases. The claim them step has two phases. Phase one is diagnosing your multiple ideal client personality disorder. And then phase two is really tuning your frequency, really diving deep. In fact, it has six steps, the second phase. And that's what we're going to get started with together on the first training call. So here you have an audio that's going to follow my introduction here. And this is actually a recording of me coaching a group of VIP Juicy Marketing clients on this first phase of MICPD. Multiple Ideal Client Personality Disorder. I couldn't think of a better way to introduce you to the complexities of this whole claim of process other than having you actually listen to me coaching some of my VIP clients. So this will give you a taste of some examples of what people grapple with when they are getting into this first phase of the whole claim of process. I want you to listen in, take some notes, listen to see how we're talking about demographics or different groups of people they want to talk to. Listen how we're talking about different products or programs. All of these things are access points to unraveling the puzzle of diagnosing MICPD. After you listen and you've taken some notes, you don't worry, you don't have to make any conclusions after listening to the audio. It's really just to get your juices flowing. Then I want you to actually look at your worksheet, Diagnosing Multiple Ideal Client Personality Disorder and Treating Your Multiple Ideal Client Personality Disorder. It actually has three questions that it's going to ask you, and when you get to the third question, you're going to be picking a group that you want to focus on for the duration of this program, and that is going to allow you to really dive deep into the words for that one product or program, that one ideal client group, because part of the challenge that you've been having very likely is that you're trying to talk to multiple groups within multiple communications, and therefore really nobody feels like you're speaking to them. And as they say, if you're marketing to everybody, you're marketing to no one. So I'm going to do my best to support you in picking one group to focus on for our time in the Cash Through Clarity Training and Coaching Program, and you will get concrete tools and words and messaging that you can use right away within your marketing in all areas, offline and online. And then you can go back through this program because now it's a permanent part of your success library, and you can utilize it for the next product or program or business or ideal client group that comes to you, because after all, we're conscious entrepreneurs, we're always evolving. So just know we're picking one to start with, mostly to really learn this process. Secondarily, you're going to get good stuff you can use right away. And then you'll be able to go through this again as new products and programs and things pop up for you. We really want to honor your evolution, and that's how you're going to do that with this Cash Through Clarity process that you'll always have in your success library. So go ahead and get started. Listen to this audio, and then after you listen to the audio, fill out the worksheet. And I can't wait to start working with you through the training calls. I can't wait to start interacting with you through our private Facebook group. Please feel free to post any questions, ask for feedback. Myself and my coaches will be in there to give you feedback. And I look forward to this journey with you, and I know that once you have clarity, you will have cash, you will have clients, you have confidence. Enjoy. Bye-bye. In order to maximize learning this process, right, so there's two goals here. One is to get the words you need right away. The other is to learn the process to get the words, because remember what I said, acknowledge your business is always going to be evolving, and so you're going to constantly have to fine-tune this stuff. So even though it feels really urgent for you to have the words right now for what it is you want to work on right now, and I really acknowledge that, you also want to have a very clear agenda to learn how to do it, to learn this process. So in order to really maximize learning the process, we need to help you hone in on an ideal client group that you're going to focus on right now. And you need one ideal client group to focus on right now. And some of you have multiple ideal client personality disorder, MICPD. And you know this because one of two reasons. One is you have lots of different demographic groups that you want to help. Like, oh, I want to help moms, but I also want to help dads, and I want to help small businesses, but I also want to help Fortune 500 companies, or I want to help athletes, but I also want to help, you know, pregnant women, and I want to help people that have pain, but I also want to help people with childhood trauma. And so there's demographic differences in who you want to work with. But then sometimes your multiple ideal client personality disorder shows up because you have multiple products or programs. And for some of you, you know, your three-day intensive retreat is a different ideal client group than somebody you would work with on a monthly basis, which may be a different ideal client group than somebody that you would, you know, you would host on a teleclass, or even somebody that would buy your book. So products also create a different ideal client group. So what we want to help you with, and this really is the million-dollar question for some of you, is what ideal client group are you going to focus on right now, and what product or program are you going to offer them? Now, you don't need to have the whole product or program figured out, no, this is module one, this is module two, but you need to know generally, like, oh, I'm going to offer just a one-on-one coaching package to start, which is totally fine. Or, you know what, I've been doing one-on-one for a while, I'm ready to go to a group program, so I'm going to be offering a group program. Or, you know what, I'm really just wanting, like, VIP, like, I want to do VIP days with my clients. I just want, like, people to come to me and I work with them for a day. So you need to generally know what the format is for how you're going to be working. What are you going to be offering? You know, some people have, like, membership programs, or, you know, it comes in many different formats. Now, doing one-on-one work is, like, the easiest way to start, right? And if you feel like my message is kind of, you know, fuzzy, and I'm really confident in the work that I do with people one-on-one, I just don't know how to describe it, you may just want to start there instead of sort of creating something new. Now, don't worry. It doesn't mean that all the other people you want to help are going to be left out to dry. We're just talking about who you're going to initially focus on. It's like, the best way for me to describe it is those of you that are parents of children or animals. when you decide that you're just going to be present with that child or that animal and just kind of block everything else out and just be present. Isn't it? It's such a relief. It's like, oh, my God, I just need to think about this one thing, and you can just be in the love space, and you can go deep with that person, or that, you know, whatever that thing is that you're being present with. That's what we're trying to get at with helping you to pick an ideal client group and a product or program to focus on, because you'll be able to go so much deeper and get so much clarity and be so much more present in this process if you do that. So that's the goal, okay? And this is not an optional thing. So if you're hearing me thinking, oh, I just can't narrow it down, I'm just going to kind of work on everything, you're not going to get what you need from this process. So you need to pick one. Pick one ideal client group and one project program. Okay, so tell me what you know right now about who you think your ideal client is.
I feel that my ideal client is anybody who needs to make a presentation. I looked at the room full of people and thought of the people that I've helped through the years to make presentations, and I thought, this is a group I can help. And I thought of the speakers I've helped, whether they've actually been professional speakers or executives or politicians, and I said, this is my group.
Okay. All right, great. So anyone who needs to make a presentation is what I would call a target market. So it's a demographic, you know, people that need to make a presentation. And what we want to do is we want to add the whole ideal client thing so that we can really get you focused, because that's a really big net, wouldn't you say?
Really big.
Really big. Okay. So, Linda, these folks that are making presentations specifically – Why do they need you? They need you because they...
Okay. It says, my client values my service, is willing to invest in themselves and pay my fee, knows about my background, expertise, and credentials.
Okay, I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop you. And is that okay if I do that? I'm going to do that occasionally just because, you know, we're always crunched for time. But so I want to know why they need you. Like, what is it that they have going on? Like, if you look at the sheet, everybody, why do my ideal clients need me? The last paragraph says, like, how are they feeling? What's their pain? Like, what needs do they have that your product or service can alleviate or satisfy? Why do they need you? Why do they need you to help with their presentation? Exactly.
I believe that I may have addressed that in the last set of points I made. So let me give it a shot with these, and if not, just redirect me and I'll answer. My client's business depends upon making a good presentation, may have to speak to the media, may have a crisis communication issue, needs to learn my proprietary signature story formula, wants to benefit from my other formulas to make their speaking ability and take it to the next level.
I'm going to use you a little bit as a guinea pig, Linda, because you're first.
I'm so ready.
Thank you for that. So the bullets where you say they will benefit from my formula or my priority signature story formula, that's about you and not them, which will come in handy later. But for this exercise, like the signature story formula, what does that help them with? Why would they need that? They need it because they don't know how to tell their story, they have this great story, it doesn't translate. Why do they need that?
Because it's a simple formula that teaches people to take a look at various items that have happened in their life, and I share with them how they can go about doing that. They identify what those points are, and then they're able to turn it into a story and be able to make a valid point from it so it becomes more memorable.
There we go. So they need you because they need their story to be more memorable.
Yes.
Okay, so write that down. So do you see how we kind of took sort of the essence of, like, what is it that you're helping them with? Why do they need you? And so what I would love for you to think about, Linda, is, like, people that have a crisis, you know, people that need to speak to the media versus somebody that's simply sort of telling a story and wants to be memorable those are pretty different types of presentations, right?
Exactly.
Okay. And do you see that as sort of you would need to actually teach them different things if they were speaking to the media in a crisis versus if they were addressing their shareholders?
Yes, different audiences.
Okay. And so what I'm thinking of is that what I want to acknowledge is that for your ideal client, your multiple ideal client personality disorder kind of unraveling that, you want to look at it from a demographic standpoint. So your ideal clients, are they the ones that are talking to the media and are in a crisis? Are they the ones that just need to have a memorable presentation? Are they the ones that need to sell something? I think it may be helpful for you to sort of narrow down what type of presentations they're making. Does that resonate with you?
I'm hearing what you're saying, yes.
Okay. And do you feel like the skills that you have to share with people could lend itself to being very specific in terms of creating something for people that are dealing with certain things in their presentation as opposed to speaking as a whole?
Yes and no. One of the items that comes to mind is that I've spoken to many chapters around the country that are chapters of the National Speakers Association to teach them how to put their signature stories together and how people say, you know, I've been a veteran for 20 years or I'm just getting started and you're able to help me with that. So I see that as being a group, yet I don't know that I would want to limit what I do simply to that group, although that's a very important group because everybody falls in that category.
Yeah. Okay, this is so good, Linda, and I'm going to thank you again for being a little bit of the guinea pig. So I hear that you're questioning about, you know, limiting it. And you just even using that word limiting feels limiting. It's like, oh, my God, I don't want to just focus on, you know, those people that have their story to tell and how to, you know, translate that. And the thing is, though, that if you're in your marketing, if you're speaking to somebody that has a crisis situation versus somebody like an NSA speaker, you would say different things to them, right?
Yes.
And so the person in crisis is not going to feel like you are the expert for them if they see you addressing the issues that an NSA speaker deals with. Does that make sense?
Understood.
Okay. So that's the benefit of picking one. And, it doesn't mean that you can never help people with crisis management and media and all that. It just means that the ideal client group and the project or program that you're going to be focusing on for this time in this course, these words, is going to be very specific to, for example, the NSA speaker and what they're dealing with and, you know, their challenges and their needs, so that when they come across you, they just unequivocally know that you are the expert they've been looking for.
Okay. Well, one of the items that happened is I thought about everything that I was learning from you, Lisa, and thank you for sharing everything that you have with us so far. And I called up GoDaddy, and I purchased 3 new domain names.
Okay. So what we'll be doing is we'll be focusing on one of those and really supporting you and making sure that your ideal clients really get that you're a specialist for them. And right now, it's sort of like you're all things to all speakers, and it doesn't feel as valuable. That's part of the end result, actually, is that it doesn't feel as valuable because you feel sort of more like a generalist. So I think your story thing sounds like the thing that you have most juice about right now might be the place to start. So you can think
All right.
more about it. So I would, for everybody that's listening, and you maybe if you had an aha with that with Linda, you would go back to your ideal client worksheet and fill it out with that specific ideal client and program or product in mind. Okay, so only these people, so not the crisis people, only these NSA speakers that have this story, that this is their particular challenge, and you're going to see, you're going to be able to go way deeper with that piece of it, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. So how are you netting out on this whole ideal client thing?
I'm netting out very well. I went through your process, and what I'm doing here is my ideal client is automotive dealers.
Okay. So there's your demographic. Tell me more about
right.
the ideal client within that demographic.
And within that demographic, we're going to have the salespeople, service writers, and the owners.
Okay. Okay, so we're still at sort of the, you know, the demographic level, and so we'll say it's not all salespeople within an automotive dealer that are your ideal client. So what is it that's unique about those people that are going to say, yeah, I need help? What is it about the people that you most want to work with?
You mean that's between the three, as far as the salespeople, service writers, and owners?
Yeah. So
why?
Yeah.
Why do they need me?
Yeah, let's start with that.
Is that what you're asking?
Sure.
Okay, well, from the standpoint of helping them increase their vehicle sales, help create a cultural change within their environment, help build customer relations, help them learn how to talk to customers, help them make customers that are not what we call our suffering in silence. I mean, I have a list of about 7 or 68 things here.
Okay, great. So these things, I would look at these as an example of a differentiation around program or offering. Because working with a dealership for them to create culture change within the dealership is a way different offering than helping them to increase their sales.
That's correct.
Right? So when you think about the practicality of a marketing message, if you go to an auto dealer and you're like, I could change your culture and increase your sales and help you with customer relations, it's kind of like, I don't believe that you're an expert in any one of those things if you're telling me you can do it all. But if you came in and you said, I am the expert that helps with culture change in the automotive industry, there's nobody like me. I help you do this about your culture, this about your culture, and it will do this, this, and this for you. Then my ears are perking up. So I'd like to support you in taking one of those, you know, a couple of those 68 things that are the most related and creating an offering that you can really hone in on. Because even looking at the three that you gave me, increase sales, create culture change, and customer relations is about their communication with their customers, right, and how they talk to them and their protocols and all that. Increasing sales, of course, it's related to customer relations, but increasing sales is right at that point of sale, and, you know, and that culture change has nothing to do with customers, not nothing to do with the customers, but primarily it's an internal thing. So, of course, because all those things vary, they would all have their own benefits, and they would, and you, you know, so there's a lot of implication for variability in the way that you would communicate in your marketing. So, I would like to see you kind of group a few of those together. Like maybe if it's customer relations, it's, you know, it's about, like, is there something on your list that you feel like is related to customer relations?
Yeah, quite a few things.
Okay, give me one more.
Okay, as far as customer relations from the standpoint of learning how to appreciate customers, learning how to be a more of a help to customers.
Okay, great, great. Okay. So now we're getting, now this is
important.
Go ahead.
Making
okay,
the customer
rapport?
Feel important. No,
oh,
making
important.
The customer
okay.
feel important and also building rapport. That's another one, yes.
Okay, okay, great. So now this is feeling juicy, right? Now I'm like, oh, this is really a nice, robust expertise that you have all around customer relations. But then if you said, oh, yeah, and I also help with sales, then I would start to feel the power of it starts to be dissipated.
Okay.
Okay. So I want to support you. Your next step would be to pick a few of those 68 things. If it's not this customer relations grouping, maybe there's another grouping. But we want to pick, like, a pocket of things so that you can go to these automotive dealers and really, like, have a strong showing.
So you're suggesting what I do is do a grouping of all the different categories that I have, put them all in one category, in several categories, and then begin to focus on one of those.
Yes. How does
okay.
that resonate?
That sounds good.
Sounds good?
Uh-huh.
Sounds doable?
You can do that.
Okay.
Very doable. No problem.
Yeah, and then once you get really clear and you start selling in and, you know, have your marketing voice and all that around this one area, then maybe you might add, you know, another product offering for, you know, okay, I'm an automotive, you know, dealer expert and I'm adding, you know, salespeople to the mix after you've done customer service. And, you know, but I feel like I want you to really dig deep into one piece of and get the voice and get into that dealer's head and where they're suffering. And, you know, you don't want to just be like, I bandage all wounds. You know, you want to be in there as an expert so that your ideal clients really hear you.
Okay.
Okay. So your homework is to group a few of those together that are related and so that is a service offering differentiation for your, you know, diagnosing that multiple ideal client persona. We're going to go in through the service offering, because your target, your demographic is very clear. So it's the
okay.
offering within there that we need to differentiate.
Okay. All right, I'll take care of that. Thank you.
Okay, great. So who do you feel is your ideal client? Just describe it.
Sure.
For me.
Sure. So I'm going to say women, even though I hate leaving out the men. But I'm going to say mostly women, those who are feeling stuck in their, you know, they're in a transition right now. So either they're coming of an age, so maybe a little bit older, but they're coming of an age where they're feeling this isn't where they wanted to be in their life. You know, they're like, how the heck did I get here? And this is mediocre and not good enough, and I need to go somewhere else. And they want help with that. Or they're in, they could even be in a job transition.
Okay.
You know, this, what you've heard, you know, corporate to this isn't what my heart's desire is anymore. And
okay.
I'm dying here and I need some help getting, you know, out of this place where I feel like I'm I'm being crushed. Yeah.
So these women that are stuck in transition, they don't know, you know, they're not where they want to be. They feel like they're dying. Why do they need you?
Well, they need me because I can act as a catalyst. So, I can, walk with them through their fear and get them to the other side. I can, I have tools and strategies to help them through.
So that's not why they need you. That's about you. Why do they need you?
Why do they
and
need
you're,
you?
And I want to congratulate you for being the guinea pig because I could probably
say that I'm like,
everybody.
I know.
So don't worry. Don't worry. Everybody does it. So
you can see me. I'm sweating. I'm beet red.
You're doing great. You're doing great. Everybody does that. Well, they need me because I'm an expert. Well, no. What is it about? What? How are they articulating? Like, what is it that they think that they, you know, these people in transition, they don't need you because they're in transition. There's something that's coming up for them because of the transition.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. They can't see a way out.
Okay. So one of the things I want to suggest is that why they might need you is that they've realized that they don't want to be stuck. Like they're ready to be unstuck.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that is a very, that's a great example of an ideal client description, right? Because it's not a target. It's not women. It's not an age. It's not an industry. It's a mindset. And there's nothing, that's why I created Ideal Client, because target market and even niche, because you could say women in transition is my niche, but again, not all women in transition are going to be ready to work with you.
Right.
So who is ready? That's the person that we really want to hone in on. And so it's the person that's ready to get unstuck.
Okay. That makes so much more sense.
And they're really actually like chomping at the bit. The time is now.
Yeah.
They can't wait any longer.
Right. Yeah. They're ready to burst.
Yeah.
They can't take it. Either burst in a good way or burst in a bad way, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is, so I would say that this is more of a demographic based, entry point into looking at your ideal clients, because it's not like you have a bunch of different products and you're wondering, you know, you're kind of honing in based on the product. This is like, this is a group that you're going after. And so, and so the woman thing, I just want to spend a minute on that just as a teaching point, because if someone came to you, Bethany, and they said to you, I'm totally stuck. I'm in this job I hate. I have no idea how to get out of it, but I know I cannot stand to be here one more minute. Would it matter if they were a man or a woman?
No, I always thought I had to pick.
No, you do not need to pick. That's demographic. That's demographic.
Right.
And you know what? That's not the thing that makes your heart sing when you work with somebody, whether they happen to have male parts or female parts.
No, it's not.
You know? And so, you know, there's very few times where I will say, okay, you can claim women. Usually it's around birth. You know, things that, you know, absolutely, you know, are really only a woman's territory.
Right.
But in this case, I'd say just go for that very particular person. Okay?
Okay. Gotcha. That makes sense. Thank
helpful?
You. Yeah, so much helpful. Thank you, Lisa.
Okay, awesome. You're welcome.
I feel like I'm getting a little bit more focused, but I'm still left with two completely different ideal clients.
All right. Let's hear it.
Right. Okay. So the first one is an area that I have, you know, quite a bit of experience in, and that is one-to-one coaching, although I want to leverage that. And I get called in usually to help people who have, who are technically very competent and very skilled, but their interpersonal skills are creating a big problem. And so I had
cultural. Is it usually cultural or language related?
No, it's not.
Okay.
I mean, there's certainly those, because in the technical arena, there's a lot of people from different countries. But
that's not
it's usually Yeah, it's just usually those highly technical mm-hmm. people are generally just not that skilled in that area. And then I get the non-technical people as well. But basically people that see, my ideal client would be, and it's not always who I get because I get the organization coming in and saying, work with this person. So my ideal client is not necessarily my actual client. My actual client is oftentimes somebody who just gets me as a gift. Fix this, or you're out of here.
For the purpose of this conversation, let's just go for the ideal client because that's who you're going to market to. The other ones may come, that's fine. But who you're going to reach out to are your ideals.
Okay, so the person I would reach out to would be somebody who sees how their emotions and their behavior are impacting their effectiveness in their lives, and they want to change, and they've tried things before, but nothing's taken.
Okay. Okay.
That's one group.
Okay, and the other group?
And then the other group is totally different. I don't have as much experience recently. I used to do a lot of, like, presentation coaching, and I see that the market is really going toward video, and I think it would just be a lot of fun to be able to coach people on how to, you know, create a video where they're really themselves and they get their message out there in a compelling emotional way, you know, that really sells. So it's really, you know, getting them to be themselves and structuring their story, their message, their in a way that reaches people. But you know, other than just helping some friends out, I haven't done that professionally for a gazillion years.
Do you want to?
But that seems like a fun thing. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I've got
both. You know, you said a magic word to me because I'm always going to, like, recommend that you go for the thing that feels fun.
Right.
Because that's
the
thing that you're going to feel like working on, right? I mean, that's the thing that even when you're having a bad day, you're going to be like, oh, let me, you know, work on this.
Right. It's a little bit more creative for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to help people with that because there's two elements. There's, you know, who they are, bringing that out, and then their message. But I do have a lot of background and experience and success in the other area. But it's starting to feel a little it's starting to feel a little too like I'm coming back to work after 11 years, and so I'm still learning, like, what's really going on here. And it feels like the soft skill is kind of a harder sell right now because so many people are coming on to their work.
I'm going to stop you.
Okay.
So let's forget about what's going on out there and what's the harder sell. What do you feel like doing?
It's so hard for me to separate that from what I think will work. But
I feel like your homework is, and this is helpful. Have you filled out the your target market worksheet yet?
Yeah.
Which one did you fill it out for? The technical folks or the presentation video coaching?
I did it for the technical people. Because
your homework is to fill it out for the other group.
Okay.
Just for fun. Just to see how it feels.
Okay.
And then when we do the ideal client, when we do the headline question of attraction homework and you're getting into the head of your ideal client, do both. See which one feels more fun.
Okay.
Okay? All right?
Thank you.
So everybody listening knows where you're going to end up or where you should end up, but you need to feel it.
Really? They know?
Yes. Am I right, you guys?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Well, maybe they should tell me and they can say no.
Okay, go ahead. Tell her.
The video.
Who's speaking?
Terry.
All right, tell her why, Terry.
Because that's where your passion is. That's where it's not going to feel like work, and that's where you're going to shine.
Thank you.
This is Nakia. She's like a kid in a candy store when she's working with that one. So her energy, even though I can't see you, it's like that's where the sparkle in your eye is.
Yeah.
Think about all the darn work that you're going to have to do over the next year to build this business. Which one do you want to be building?
So my ideal client is people who have been other places trying to overcome their addictions, food, and emotional problems. They've been to programs and, you know, rehab, and they've been to lots of place therapy. They've done lots of different things, and they're still struggling because they're treating the symptoms and not the underlying causes. So what I'm gathering from this is that is the people, I mean, the people we always go after are people who have, they're usually not the younger, young people in their 20s because they need to have tried several things to really understand it, it's deeper. Like it's starting to ring true to them that it's deeper. And when we share our message, it resonates with their heart because they're like, oh my God, like I've never dealt with the underlying stuff, like my pain, my deep pain. I've never healed at that deep emotional level. So they're the ones resonating with us.
Yeah.
I mean, is that kind of where I go with this? I mean, I was thinking, oh, I need to talk to you about whether, you know, the age group or this, that, but it doesn't really matter what it is.
No, that's demographic. That's not ideal client. Yeah. That's what's so refreshing about this, is that you don't have to figure out the formula for their statistics. You just need to figure out who they are as an individual. What is it they need and what is it they value and what is it that they're ready for? And that often comes by simply saying, who are my favorite clients and why? What is it about them? And if you do have demographics, there's always, you always want to ask, why did I pick that demographic? Like you just said, they're older, but it's really the people that have tried other shit. There could be 20-year-olds that have been in rehab since they're 16, and they might be ready.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
So it's not necessarily their age, but it's people that have tried many other things, and they're really ready to go a deeper way or a different way.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and
so
that's so specific.
That.
Yeah. And then you're going to get to that inner dialogue of that ideal client, and it's going to be like, I've tried all these things, and I'm willing to try something new, or I'm so frustrated, or I've been to rehab 4 times, and why would this be different, and, you know, all that stuff.
Yep. Okay. Yep. That sounds great.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Why do your ideal clients need you?
They need me because they don't know how to step into their own power. They don't know how to stop being knocked off center by either people, other people, or circumstances, or their own self-sabotage. They really know that they're supposed to be doing something bigger in life than they're doing right now. And they just don't know how to step into that.
Okay.
The other thing that's part of this is that there are people that know that they actually want to help change the world. And so they want to do that either through their business or through a social initiative. And they need help with the spanning the spiritual and the business pragmatic, you know, whether it's business or nonprofit. Really the pragmatic aspects of running a real initiative and the leadership aspects of that. Or, so it starts with them stepping up to their power and expressing that thing that's calling to them and then figuring out how to manifest that in a real world successful initiative.
Do you think that people that are wanting to birth a social initiative, that they're really clear, like this is a nonprofit, you know, this is a service that, you know, I want to create for the world. Do you think that they need different things from you than the people that are birthing a business?
You know, the part where there's, I think probably yes, they would. I think the part where there's overlap is the leadership aspect of it. So they wouldn't necessarily need, I mean, where they would go for funding, it'd be different. They would go get funding. They wouldn't be trying to sell things to fund themselves.
Uh-huh.
You know, that would be different. But in terms of, there's a way in which they both have to get customers or, you know, they have to get people to either donate or buy from them. So there's a whole raft of things actually that go into attracting who they want to attract, et cetera, that are similar. But I could see separating them.
Yeah, I'm wondering. Because, you know, the power of really getting specific with your ideal client group is, you know, the next piece of this is about getting into their head and identifying what their inner dialogue is.
Right.
And so that's where I'm kind of looking ahead going, okay, the people that want to change the world through a social initiative, a nonprofit, you know, something more altruistic, something where they're needing to enroll the masses, you know, in their mission, you know, not really ask them for money to, you know, out of their own pocket to for them to benefit themselves, but, you know, there's a whole another spirit to it. And I suspect that they need to hear different things from you. They need to hear you mirroring different things that they're already saying to themselves and the folks that are wanting to launch a business that might change the world.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think you're absolutely right.
And so I want to point out to everybody that that is a demographic-based differentiation, because we have people that are creating nonprofit versus people that are creating a business. That's a demographic target market-based MI, you know, multiple ideal client personality disorder differentiation. And so I'm just writing this down that it's the social, did you say social enterprise?
It's,
you know,
good enough.
Social enterprise.
Social initiative is what I said.
Social initiative. Okay, great. Social initiative, nonprofit. And the other thing that's coming to me, Laura, is it's like you're needing to enroll people in like this move, like a movement. You know,
exactly.
Not you. You're a client.
No.
And
yeah,
so,
you're right. That's
yes,
what they
yeah.
need is turn it into
yeah.
a movement. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Feel good?
Cool. Yeah.
All right. Awesome.
Yeah, great. So so you're saying pick one.
I'm saying pick one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. And I'm feeling like it's the nonprofit, it's the social initiative people that jazz you the most at the moment.
Well, not necessarily, actually.
Okay. All right. Great. All right. Great.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah, but yes, because so then it's businesses that are businesses that are wanting to change the world, but they're also wanting to create profit. So yeah, and it will make your message simpler if you're not trying to talk to both groups, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And that's
cool.
The whole point.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay, so we have bullying, we have relationship conflict, we have parents and kids, we have workplace, and we have this victim. And I'm sure you have a whole list of others, but let's just look at those for this point here. So the news that maybe feel a bit challenging is that you do need to pick a place to start. And I know it's hard, and many of you might feel the same thing when you have a big mission, and you know you feel like you could help everybody, and that
well,
those
and
of
we
us
spent
that,
a decade. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that we spent actually more like 3 decades in the not-for-profit arena before this, so the mission is huge and has been being done, you know, for years and years and years.
Yeah. Okay, so which one of these feels the most fun? Do you feel sort of like, oh, that would be really fun to just explore that one, or that just feels, you feel more opening or more capacity for? So if you can't answer it now, that's the question.
Okay.
And I, you know, that's, and then for anybody that's listening that you feel like you have a whole list of these groups and you're not quite sure, I just always feel like you don't feel equally about all of them. There's just no way that you feel as equal connection to all of those. And when it comes to, you know, it comes to the air war, if you're feeling like something's, you know, more fun, or someone I was talking to today said, no, I just feel more of a heart connection with that piece. Like, just dive into that one for now, because that's the one you're going to feel motivated to work on at 3 o'clock in the morning and work, you know, that's the one you're going to be, you'll feel the most grace and ease and more flow. You know, you're sort of just following the breadcrumbs of what feels good. And for some of you, that might be, sound like total hoo-ha and, you know, that's not strategy and all that. But I feel like when you're kind of faced with a decision and they all feel like they could work, you kind of have to take strategy out of it. And I don't like using external criteria like what will the market bear and what do people need and all that, because it doesn't really matter if someone really needs bullying, but that doesn't feel good to you, you're not going to want to work on that.
Yeah.
So that's the question,
that's
Summer.
Beautiful, Lisa. Just that question alone takes everything else and puts it into priority for me. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.